Welcome and happy new year to everyone. We are back. It is Upon Further Review with the Podcast Profs. Happy 2018. I am Dr. Soren Fanning, Professor of World History here at Robert Morris, Associate Professor, excuse me. Anthony Moretti is not with us. He is on a fact-finding, daring mission to our nation's capital. Lord knows what he will uncover. Actually, he's just looking at museums, but shh, don't tell anyone. However, in his stead, we have our buddy, our pal, good friend of the show, the Director of Multicultural Student Services here at Robert Morris University, and the one, the only, Mr. Fred Hodges.
Hello, hello. Happy New Year, everybody. I hope everybody is doing well.
Did you have a good New Year? Good
yes,
holiday.
That I have. I had a great holiday. I actually had the chance to go to Atlanta for Christmas. And one thing that was really breathtaking to me is I stepped foot in the birth home of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, nice.
I've never been to Atlanta and I've never done that. And that was like kind of one of the things that was on my bucket list.
Sure.
Is, you know, seeing some of the artifacts of Dr. Martin Luther King, being in the home of Dr. Martin Luther King where he was born, and also walking in the Ebenezer Baptist Church where he preached. I mean, when I say it was breathtaking, it was breathtaking.
Yeah, in a literal sense.
Exactly,
yeah.
In a literal sense, indeed.
And then
come the new year, I brought the new year in with some of my fraternity brothers. We all traveled down to D.C. D.C. is a central place for all of us because mm-hmm. we're located all throughout the country, but D.C. is like that central place, and so we were able to kind of come together and bring the new year in together.
Excellent.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, we tried something new with the Fanning household. My wife, my daughter, and I, we decided to ring in Christmas at Colonial Williamsburg. I don't know if you've ever been, but it's in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Oh, no.
It's one of these living history museums. It's all like colonial life. It was really interesting. It was fun, but I don't think we'll be doing that again for Christmas just because it was weird. It didn't feel right.
Oh, wow.
Emily, she had a great time, but she, you know, Christmas Day, we brought our stockings with us, which was nice because that way we opened in the hotel room, but it didn't feel right. So we decided to compromise, and well, if one Christmas is good, let's have second Christmas. So once we got back on the 27th, we had the rest of the presents. So that worked out. But it was fun.
Awesome. Awesome.
It was also weird because I grew up in Chicago and then I moved to Pittsburgh, and Virginia was just unseasonably warm for Christmas for me. I mean, it was something like 50 degrees, 48 degrees. That just didn't seem right. And I shouldn't have complained about it because when I got back,
hello, snow.
And meanwhile, I stayed here. Nice white Christmas, nothing crazy.
Yeah, I think you might have had the best deal of all of that.
Yeah,
a nice
right.
little cozy.
I will say, yeah. though, I did about as much traveling as you guys probably. Granted, it still stayed in Pittsburgh, but I was tired of driving after Christmas.
I don't think
I stayed in any single place more than like 2 hours.
Nice.
No,
so you sort of not nice. Not nice. Bad.
I prefer to stay a place most of the time if I'm going to be traveling on a holiday, but Christmas is the one holiday where I have to go to every single house in my family.
Oh, you got to do the whole family circuit.
And my girlfriend's family, it is a pain in the butt.
Mm. I'm surprised you even got 2 hours snuck in there. That's impressive. Because
especially because I also had to drive her home because I worked 7 a.m. the next day.
So you were running the trolley service is what you were doing.
Yeah, I spent a full tank of gas that day.
Wow.
And my car's not bad on fuel. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, take that as you will.
I will indeed. For those of you listening, we welcome back our producer extraordinaire, John Rowland. Happy New Year to you too, my friend.
And Happy New Year.
So it looks like we all had a good time. So it was a nice quiet start to 2018 in the U.S., wasn't it? Oh, my God. Have you been following what's been going on in our nation's capital?
Yes, indeed.
This has been unreal. I mean, you know, we thought after 2017, after we got out of that, after we made it through that year, okay, we know what to expect now.
Mm.
No, we don't. No, we don't. If it's a day that ends in Y, we have things thrown completely in a cocktail.
Yeah,
so,
right.
For those of you who are listening, I'd love to get your take on it. The new year opened with the equivalent of explosive gossip in the middle school cafeteria, except it's our nation's capital.
Mm.
Author Michael Wolff, who, depending on your view of him as a, and I hope you hear the air quotes, journalist, apparently was given unfettered access to the West Wing and came out with this absolutely scathing Mean Girls burn book attack on, frankly, everyone running the government. Fred, what were your takeaways?
I mean, my takeaways on it is I didn't get a chance to really read the book entirely. I just read a few cliff notes as well as a few of the samples. But it's not anything that we don't know.
Or didn't suspect.
Right. And exactly. I mean, it's a lot of the things that are going on. It's out there. I mean, and we either suspected it or we know that.
Or we saw it.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, the idea that the president has a bad temper. Okay, we've seen that.
All on Twitter.
You know, exactly. You know, the idea that everyone in the president's orbit, according to this book, thinks he's childish. Again, not exactly a newsflash. What was a newsflash was the fact that the author, Michael Wolff, apparently has hours and hours of recordings that back up what he says.
Mm.
Because apparently what happened, and I'm taking my glasses off because I still can't believe this happened, is that he floated the idea of writing a book to President Trump right before the transition. Trump thought it was a decent idea. And because nobody in this White House knows what they're doing, basically gave Michael Wolff free rein to just hang out in the West Wing unsupervised for 6 to 7 months. Who thought this was going to be a good idea?
Obviously Trump.
Yeah. It's just, you know, they say any publicity is good publicity. Not thinking so. Not thinking so after this.
Or at least not if you matter. If you're somebody who just stays afloat because of publicity, like the Kardashians or Paris Hilton, sure. But when you have a real job what you do affects more than yourself, no. Bad That's publicity is bad.
Well, absolutely. And yeah.
Now, my question is, do you think that Trump does this knowing a lot of the backlash or knowing the attention that it's going to draw?
I used to. But after seeing everything he's posted on Twitter in the past week, no.
I'm with John on this one.
Okay.
I mean, there's been a lot of speculation that maybe he's playing like three-dimensional chess and the rest of us are playing checkers. Maybe all these tweets are there's just this deep, you know, very stable genius idea. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But this master plan to distract and, you know, oh, look over here at the shiny thing and don't pay attention. I just honestly, all the evidence I see indicates he honestly, truly does not reflect. It's stimulus response. This is a man who, in my opinion, and the book does back that up, is governed by only one thing. It's not conservatism. It's not liberalism. It's not any ism you can imagine. It's simply this. I want to be liked. Why won't you like me? Yeah.
Actually, on that exactly, there have been a lot of data scientists who, for fun, have checked his tweets to see if what he says is actually based on anything. And they've consistently found that in the time Fox and Friends airs, within 20 to 30 minutes, he will repeat what they said verbatim or something so closely related to it that it can't just be a coincidence over the course of a year. Right. One or two times, not much, but it's almost every day.
He's basically live tweeting Fox and Friends
with a 20-minute delay.
Right. I mean, so when the book comes out and alleges that the guy stays in bed watching TV until 11, yeah, we have evidence to back that up.
Right.
I'm curious your opinion, because I actually found myself reading through these accounts, not being surprised, but I felt myself getting angry. And I was getting angry for this reason. You have someone who's manifestly bad at this job, who manifestly probably should not have this job. And I'm not saying this again. I've been saying this for a year. I'm going to say this until we have a new president. I'm not saying this from a partisan point of view. This is not left, right. This is not Republican, Democrat. This is just, by any objective definition, Donald Jonathan Trump is not fit to be president of the United States. He hates reading. To the point where the presidential daily brief, you know, this is the document of the most up-to-date classified information available, they've now had to not only pare it down to a single page so he'll pay attention. That's a pretty frightening thought. But on top of that, they literally leave things out because they don't want to upset him. Now, we could talk that all this is gossip and hearsay, but again, the guy has tapes, so I don't. But my anger comes that if everyone around you can see that the emperor has no clothes, to use the old parable, isn't it someone's responsibility to do something? Or am I just wildly...
I mean, go ahead, John. Were you about to say something?
No.
Oh. It is the responsibility of somebody to actually do something. But when you have a man that has the power that he has, there's a lot of people that are running two things. Clueless. Yeah. There's a lot of ignorance as well as fear.
Right. And of course, this is, and I see where you're coming from. And I realize when you're in it, maybe you can't recognize what's going on.
Right.
But here's my thought. All these people worry, oh, what will my career be? I understand. You know, if you stand up to this president, if you get up there with that megaphone, say the emperor has no clothes, yeah, your career is over. But do you really think you're going to have a career after this dumpster fire of an administration?
I don't think so.
I mean, at this point, I think the main hope you have, I would argue, is to speak truth to power, be a patriot, and hopefully you can get rehabilitated as a contributor later. I don't know, but it's wow.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I totally agree with you on that. If I feel as though that anyone who was, you know, within those positions, if they speak up on it, they're done. And it's to the point to where, like, they would have to, you know, go to the communities and speak. Or, you know, for example, I mean, think about the Colin Kaepernick situation.
Right.
Where someone who utilizes his platform in order to speak against something that they are against, which is police brutality, now is quote unquote ostracized from an organization.
Right. Although, believe me, if you're ostracized by the NFL, that's actually a compliment to your character. But you get the idea.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I mean, I completely agree with you.
And that's where I'm getting at. Because, I mean, if you think about that, there are a lot of closed-minded individuals who do not understand that protest.
Right.
So there's a lot of closed-minded individuals who do not understand that this man is literally, like you said, the emperor with no cloth.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. We were talking about, you know, themes for 2018. Mine isn't nearly as inspiring and poetic as yours. but you're looking ahead at 2018, and you're an optimistic guy. So what's your 2018?
Prosper.
All right. Excellent.
My thing for 2018 is to prosper. I mean, I'm going to prosper no matter what I do. Anything that I put forth and any type of work that I do or anything that I think of is for the betterment of myself. So that's going to help me prosper moving forward. So this will be my channel. My channel of 2018 will be Prosper, where 2019 is where I'm going to reach that prosperity.
Prosperity. I like it.
There it is. That's the word. Prosperity.
I like it. Hey, anyone listening here, you know, you ought to go back and retake your SATs because you're going to get some good words out of this. No, absolutely. And that's, I like prosper because survive just sounds so basic. You know, I'm going to keep converting oxygen into carbon dioxide, but prosper, I mean, you know, that has growth. So I'm going to go a little more zen on this.
Okay.
This is going to be the year of the polished rock.
Mm.
This is what I mean by that. Do you know how you polish a rock?
Pressure.
Not so much pressure. Ever seen, you know what a rock tumbler is? You take the rock, you add in a whole bunch of other rocks, and it just tumbles them around until all those jagged edges and stray bits get bashed off.
Right.
And after a couple of days, you're going to have a nice polished rock. Because you had mentioned that a lot of people in this administration, and you're absolutely right, have limited experience. All they know is the experience they've already had.
Right.
What I am suggesting is 2018 is going to be the rock polished year for the country, because I think we're going to be forced out of that comfort zone. We're going to get those rough edges chipped off just out of necessity. I'll give you a good example. Did you watch the Golden Globes?
No, but however, I did see the speeches of a few of Oprah and Sterling Evans' speech.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, usually, you know, when it comes to awards, the only award show that is mandatory in my household is the Tonys, because my wife absolutely adores Broadway. So, okay, there's that.
And the Tonys are actually interesting.
They are interesting.
Everything else is you're watching people talk about things you could be watching that's more interesting than that.
Yeah.
Right. But the Tonys, they actually bring in performances, which are usually just like, I don't know, like a quarter of a couple of the songs that they do all mixed into one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but actually you get to sample what's going on as opposed to this movie star air kissing this movie star. And
I want to say it was like maybe 2 years ago or something, but Aladdin got nominated for a Tony and their show was phenomenal.
Right.
And it convinced me that when it comes to town, I think this year I'm going to try to buy a ticket for it. So
well, yeah,
the Tonys is good advertisement. There's nothing that goes on in the Oscars that makes me want to watch a movie.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and plus there's so much politics that go on into that. Not that the Tonys are politics free, but at least you get to almost sample the product.
Right.
Most people, by the way, don't realize how hard it is to put on a musical. Acting is one thing, but at least with movies, you can yell cut. you know, right. Otherwise, the show's got to go on. But, you know, Oprah Winfrey gives a fantastic speech. And then we get flooded with Oprah for president.
Oh.
Okay.
Is that where people started to say that from? I was wondering why it suddenly started.
Yes.
Okay.
So everyone listening to our audience of tens, I encourage you, listen to Uncle Soren on this one. For anyone out there saying, Oprah 2020, stop. Just stop. And understand, I'm from Chicago. I love Oprah Winfrey. I have nothing against Oprah. That's great. She's a wonderful figure. But I would think that after the past 18 months we've endured, have we learned that maybe the idea of a celebrity president isn't the best idea? Like, I don't know. Maybe we should take the boring route and take someone who, I don't know, knows what they're doing. And again, there's no disrespect to Oprah Winfrey. She's incredibly smart. But she's never run a government before.
That is true.
And I think people are just so desperate for optimism.
Right.
Something.
Right.
That they'll latch on to whatever appealing, shiny object happens to parade down the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, today it's Oprah. What? I mean, I don't know what it's going to be tomorrow. You know,
The Rock.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Well, that would that be a ticket? Winfrey Johnson.
I think he jokingly actually said he wanted to run. But I think it was pretty clearly a joke. So.
Well, yeah, let's hope that falls into like Kid Rock territory.
Or Ted Nugent.
Oh Lord. Yeah. Ted Nugent's a frightening individual.
Oh, man.
Just on a number of levels. But yeah, so I think you and I are both coming from the same place. I think 2018, if nothing else, I think we all left 2016 in sort of a dazed, what just happened state. Mm-hmm. In 2017, I don't know about you, but I sort of felt during the year I was almost constantly getting whipsawed, like I'm watching a tennis match.
Mm.
Wait, what? How, entire year.
Right.
I think if nothing else, I don't know what's coming, but at least I've got my head wrapped around, okay, these are the range of possible outcome. Mm-hmm. Did you have that feeling?
I do. And one thing that we need to learn is to not make decisions off of emotions. And
bravo, bravo.
I mean,
look. Listen to Uncle Fred, people.
just look at presidency. There were so many people who were upset at the Obama administration that they would have settled for anybody.
Right. And I think what's going to be the hard part about sort of righting the ship, and I'm going to go on record and say it cannot happen, in my opinion, with Donald Trump in the White House.
Right.
For this, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was getting ready to say, I mean, you know, you can see with some of the things that Donald Trump is doing and Donald Trump is tearing down, the actual good that the Obama administration has done when in office.
Well, not even the Obama administration. We're talking about ripping up the international post-war order that the U.S. labored for 70 years to build after World War II.
Right.
You know, we're turning our backs on Britain and France and Germany. And, you know, say what you will, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, these guys and these women knew what they were doing, and they worked over generations to create a fairly stable world order. I don't think Trump is inherently evil. Because evil requires an understanding of what you're doing. I honestly think he doesn't quite grasp what he's doing. Again, stimulus response. Mm-hmm. That said, I think 2018 is going to be the reason I think we can't move forward until Trump is no longer president, simply because the man lives on division. And I think the only way we get out of this is together. And I think what that means is, you know, for the left who have felt, with justification, somewhat victimized during this period, you're going to have to give up the dream of payback, because that's not going to get us anywhere.
Right. And this is the one thing that I really preach here. I'm not a preacher, but this is the one thing that
you do
I
a
really...
great imitation of one, though, man.
Thank you.
And that's
you.
A compliment.
I appreciate that. But I mean, it's the one thing that I really tell students here at RMU is that the power that we have together is unmeasurable. If you think about it, I always use the analogy of a hand. You know, you have your each individual fingers that do different things, but it comes together, it creates a fist, and that fist can pack a powerful, powerful punch.
Ouch.
Us coming together as a country can be that punch that mm-hmm. we need. But people don't realize that. You know, Dr. King says, faith is taking that first step without seeing the entire staircase. We need to take that first step into coming together because we don't realize the power that we have together. And so you hit the nail on the head right there where it comes to us coming together as a country, as people of the United States.
Right. And basically redefining what it means to be an American, because we're at that kind of a crossroads right now.
Right.
But the great thing is we get to define that. And I think you're right. It takes sort of a leap of faith.
It does.
Maybe that would be a nice theme for 2018, you know, the great leap of faith. You don't know if it's going to work out, but, you know, because I've taken, I think, a whopping two of those in my entire life where I started doing something I had no idea if I could do.
Mm-hmm.
One of the small one, it wasn't so much a leap of faith, it was a hop of faith, was trying to get my PhD. Because my dad had a PhD and I always thought he was way smarter than me and I didn't know if he had the brain power to do it. The big one was when my wife and I decided we're going to have a daughter.
Wow.
And yeah, wow, indeed. That was numerous gut checks. And I do remember, I'm going to sanitize, we're running out of time, and I want to sanitize this for our G-rated audience. But yeah, it was something along the lines of, oh, please don't let me foul this up. Except I didn't use the word foul. No. But, the one thing I was terrified, I didn't know if I was going to be able to raise a functional human being.
Mm.
It's worked out so far. Great. You know, part of it, and let's face it, we all know that the reason for that it succeeded this far is because I have Susan at home.
Nah.
So there's that. But yeah, I think this year it's a good year. Try something new. Get out of your comfort zone.
Right.
On a completely lighter and more fun note, before we wrap up, what's one thing you want to personally accomplish? Something fun, not necessarily deep and weighty and thoughtful, but something fun you want to do for yourself, for your loved ones this year?
Well, I am the man of deep and witty and thoughtful. So
you are. I think your light is everyone else's weighty.
something fun. I want to be accepted into the PhD program.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Listen, take it from me. You will make it, because I have discovered, having gone through it, getting a PhD has nothing to do with intelligence and everything to do with just jumping through hoops.
Mm.
Because believe me, if there was an IQ threshold, I would probably have been turned away at the door. But I have found out you just got to jump through all the hoops they put in front of you and say, okay, what's next?
Right.
That's good. What do you want to get it in?
Also, instructional management and leadership.
Very nice.
Yes. And, what I wanted to do is I want to do a TED Talk. So
very cool. What would it be on if you could pick your TED Talk?
Me versus me.
Sounds like a battle royale.
Yeah, you can be your best friend or your worst enemy. The only person that can stop you towards accomplishing great things in life is yourself.
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Fred Hodges. Light and fun.
I told you. You know what?
I'll give you credit.
I'm thoughtful. Everything that I do is witty, thoughtful, and enlightening. Because
well done, man. I applaud you. You know, we need the deep thinkers.
Yeah, thank you.
So, John, what do you want to do? Fun, enjoyable, improve the quality of your life.
If I get the chance, and this is a big if, because if this is going to happen, it's going to be like right after I start a job, most likely. Mm. So I don't know if I'll be able to get the time off to do it. But my girlfriend's aunt lives down in D.C. Mm-hmm. And Hamilton happens to be in D.C., I think.
Oh, I see where this is going.
July, September.
Oh, nice.
Well done.
And she offered to take us if we can manage to get down there.
Find a way.
So I really want to find a way because I don't want to wait until 2019 when it's here in Pittsburgh. Mm. And I might not even be in Pittsburgh at that time.
You're right.
And then I have to figure out where I'll be. And what if it's somewhere that it's already been through?
Right.
So I'd really like to go.
Listen, if you need to take the podcast off, we will hold this podcast so you can go see Hamilton. I promise you that. I just made that decision for Anthony.
something that I can probably more realistically manage, it, like something that's more in my control and not the whim of my employer and how time right. works out. I think I'd like to buy a single record that is just way overpriced because it's just a collector's item. Because
nice.
Last year I just got into collecting vinyl. It granted it's death metal vinyl, so you don't want to hear it, but there's some older pressing from like back when records just started to catch back on. They're like $200, and I kind of want one just for the sake of like I enjoy the music.
There's nothing wrong with a collector's item. Yeah.
Right.
But I don't know if I can justify that money. But maybe after I start a job.
Listen, you don't know. We might have, as a subset of our viewership, a deep and thriving metal community. You don't know. Could be a polka community, too, as far as that goes. But, you know, hey, at the very least. No, that sounds great, John. As for myself, this is one thing I've always kicked around. I think I'm going to actually get started on it. One of the big struggles I have is every year I become a serial monogamist when it comes to my world history textbook. You got to find a good one. And, you know, they all have good things, but not what I want. I think I'm going to start writing my own.
Oh, wow. There it is.
That actually reminds me.
Yeah.
I'm changing my goal.
Okay, good. I'm
halfway through writing a 4 or 5 song album.
All right.
I'd like to maybe finish that this year, but it's been a year since I've wrote anything, so.
Well, no reason you can. No, that sounds great.
That's a big pause, so maybe that can actually happen.
Excellent. And I'm glad, by the way, nobody here left with eat right, lose weight. I'm so glad.
You know, if I say that's my goal, it'll never happen. That's something that I'm just going to start one day just because I should. And honestly, when I'm not living in a college dorm and I can cook for myself, it'll be easier. I know what I like. And, you know, I feel like eating this for dinner tonight, so I'm gonna actually make it instead of, like, being at home where it's...
Ramen.
Whatever my parents have. Which, don't get me wrong, I love my parents' cooking, but...
Right.
It's not intrinsically healthy because no one in my family eats vegetables except me. So...
Wow. It's this mystic flora and fauna that came from somewhere else.
You should see my dad try vegetables. It's funny. He'll take a single pea, eat it, just push the rest aside. He ate some peas tonight. He ate his vegetables. Yeah. So basically everything in my house is meat and potatoes.
I ate a pea. Singular.
A pea. Yeah. Wow. That's a point.
That's nice. Well, happy New Year, everyone. Fred, thank you so much for joining us.
You're
we are absolutely going to have to come have you back.
I'm glad to be back. So, just let me know.
And we will definitely send our good thoughts and vibes out to Dr. Anthony Moretti, who, if I don't miss my guess, is probably deep in the bowels of the museum right now and as happy as a clam.
That's awesome.
So thank you for joining us. We will see you next time on Upon Further Review with the Podcast Profs.
Awesome. Take care, everyone.